When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
What's happening, guys? Welcome to the Dynasty Warzone, the People's Dynasty Podcast. Tonight, I'm not wasting any time because I don't have any time to waste. We have a guest, but I want to welcome back my co-host. You know him as the man of the hour and the man with the power fresh off his poker tournament, Jerry. Welcome, buddy.
Yeah, it was a min cash. I drove 2.5 hours in disappointment, but I did make a little bit of money. But it is always good to get back on the felt. I'm good. How the hell are you? Listen, Michigan State lost. So I don't even have – I have absolutely nothing to look forward to except for Dynasty and except for rookie drafts now, because sports only offers me total and utter pain and agony.
Well, that laugh –
how's your life? It's got to be going better than that.
Doesn't matter about my life. Tonight we have a guest that is joining that annual rotation of guests, one of my absolute favorite people to chop it up with, especially about rookies. He was the guy who put us on last year on Rashee Rice right here on this podcast. He came back from the Senior Bowl, said, hey, we got to be in on this guy. He's a stud. Sure enough, he nailed it. He being Nino Brown. And you can follow Nino on Twitter at Nino_NinoBrown_. He is the dad to twin boys. And he is a big part of at the CFB Nation. Nino, my man, welcome back to the show.
Ah, it's a pleasure coming on. Appreciate you guys giving me the offer to come back on.
No, for sure. And what's going on with CFB Nation right now? I know this is something you're doing a lot of and you're very passionate about. And tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Yeah, we're just grinding out. Spring camps coming on for all these colleges. I just got back Friday. I was at the BC Pro Day, which was cool. You know, got to see 24 scouts in there at BC, checking out a couple guys, Mahogany and Elijah Jones. So it was cool, different experience to me, you know, seeing the 40-yard dash and the measurables and the vert jump and all that stuff was cool. You know, I got to meet Bill O'Brien, shook his hand and stuff, and joking. He's a funny guy. He puts on the stern look, but he's a jokester. So it was a cool time. And then I was at the Senior Bowl again, round two. So it's been a fun year.
That's good, man. That's good. I'm glad that you're keeping busy. Jerry, now I like to consider Jerry our college football expert, but on top of being our resident poker expert, what's the best
part? Apparently not good enough at either of them.
What's the best part of the Senior Bowl for you? Like when you go down there, is it getting the one-on-one FaceTime with the players? Is it just being there? Is it meeting other people within the industry? What's the coolest part?
Is it Mobile, Alabama? Does Mobile, Alabama deliver? That's the question.
100%. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into that. We're going to go ahead and get our one commercial in early. We'll get it out of the way, and then we'll jump into good people, bad tweets.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe Package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode, where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players, because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder, where we look up on My Fantasy League and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer, where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe, and you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. So it's a great deal.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, there you go, the Podfather. You know, he does those in one take.
I believe it.
Yeah, believe it or not, he does those in one take. We're going to go ahead because I want to get Nino plenty of time to talk about the rookies, the rankings, the way that he sees this class. But we're going to do good people, bad tweets because I couldn't necessarily find – again, we don't force good people, bad tweets. If it's a bad tweet, it's a bad tweet. If we don't find one for the week, we move on. But Nino – a couple weeks ago, you tweeted about a quarterback and his pro day and a guy you're pretty high on. I'm not as high on. Tell us about your tweet about Spencer Rattler's pro day.
I just think, you know, what he showed in the pro day is something that he showed kind of like towards the end of the year, his last season and this season in a whole. He's matured. He's come a long way. And he's, like I said to you guys, kind of, in the green room, he's a guy that's made lemonade out of lemons. I mean, the guy that's been sacked over 40 times or close to 40 times in back-to-back seasons. I said to you before, it was a top QB that had less than 2.6, I think it was, seconds per throw. Like, the line was Swiss cheese, and the guy got it done without, you know, his number one target, Juice WRLD. Everybody like, oh, yeah, LeGarrette, you know, that's great. But LeGarrette was also drawing double coverages, and someone had to get him the ball. And Spencer Rattler did that, and he was able to make multiple good NFL throws off platform. What's the Senior Bowl with the guys that we're going to talk about in this class? Penix, Bo Nix, Hartman, all those guys. He was the dude. He got the MVP. He literally won every day. He missed one throw, practice one, and then was just nails the rest of the time. MVP of the game, won the game, had that touchdown. I mean, he's come a long way from that guy on Netflix, you know, that arrogant kid. Yeah, he got the NIL money and all that stuff, but he's had a reality check. You know, and I said to you guys before, he's probably one of the only QBs that's got benched and hit the transfer portal. Being over 70% completion percentage, that doesn't really happen. Was able to, you know, right the ship, settle it down, put the pieces back together. And I think this kid could be, you know, an NFL caliber QB. He may have to wait a year, and he's not going to be a first or second round pick. But I'm telling you, Spencer Rattler is an NFL QB, and we will see that happen very soon.
All right, Jerry, what are your thoughts on Rattler?
I mean, I have one Devy League, and I have had Spencer Rattler for what seems like 145 years. So I hope you're right. I think the thing that gets him shit on is that he was part of Lincoln Riley and didn't turn into a Heisman winner. We are a short-sighted people, dynasty players. And I mean, if you look at his numbers, he wasn't terrible. That last year at Oklahoma, he wasn't great. They wanted to get Caleb in there.
Yeah.
Well, like, let's be real. I mean, he's fine. If given an opportunity, I tend to agree with Nino. I think he will at least show that he's good enough to be in the league.
I got a hot take for you, right?
Go ahead.
I think people don't like Williams. You show me a QB that Lincoln Riley's produced. Not one that transferred and landed in his lap. Show me one that he's produced, because everyone he's supposed to produce has to go somewhere else or walk. Malachi Nelson, 5-star at USC, had an open spot, gone, had to go to Boise State, right? Caleb came into him. He didn't develop him. And when he had him, he kind of got worse as the years got on, because this year was his worst season, right? So it's like, you show me one. Kyler Murray, transferred in. I mean, the list goes on of guys he didn't develop that he gets credit for.
Baker.
Right.
Baker transferred in.
Transferred in.
That's what I'm saying. Baker transferred in from Texas Tech.
There is no QB that he's developed at all. This was a 5-star kid come in that he could have developed, that he kind of shit the pants on him and made the kid leave for a guy that he knew was already developed and he didn't have to do anything. I think Lincoln Riley is a fraud, and I've been saying it for over a year.
Well, I'm going to ask this question when we get to the quarterbacks here in just a minute, but I think Spencer Rattler, I'm going to answer my own question. One of the questions that I put on the show sheet for Nino was, who do we think could be this class's Brock Purdy? And not a guy that's going to go seventh round dead last, but who is a guy that we're not talking enough about now that we've seen good production from in college, that if he lands in the right spot, and when I say the right spot, like the teams that I like, Denver always going to come to mind. I like Sean Payton as a coach. And so I think that if he lands in the right spot, like, believe it or not, I said this before we were in the green room. I was like, I would prefer that the Minnesota Vikings don't trade up. I prefer they just stay pat, draft somebody. And if they drafted a kid like Spencer Rattler with a head coach like Kevin O'Connell, you know, we saw what he did. He had like literally no practice time and won a game with Josh Dobbs. Mm-hmm. I think sitting for a year behind Sam Darnold, or maybe even coming in at Thanksgiving, do like the old bridge handoff deal, see what the kids got, because they're projected to win 6.5 games this year. Then you let him come out there, and then you got a quarterback, and you got one cheap, and then you can build up the rest of your team. We've seen this be successful. So I'm going to give this to myself, because Nino was right about Spencer Rattler. I should have gave him some more credit. So Dana White this week goes to me.
Federal prison. Federal fucking prison. If you're that fucking stupid and somebody else wants to do it, knock yourself out. There's not enough money in it.
Yep. That one goes to me. That was my Dana White for questioning Spencer Rattler. Well, we're already on the topic of quarterback, so let's jump into the quarterback class. First question, I guess assignment is really more of it. Rank these six quarterbacks for me, Nino. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix.
Caleb, Daniels, May, J.J., Bo, Penix.
Penix last. Now, you know, Penix went to IU for a while. He also a transfer guy. He went to IU for a while. Is it the fact that he's 34 years old?
Well, no, because, you know, Bo's, no, Bo's 30. Old. I know, but they're both older QBs, and they've been in the league, you know, been in college longer than the other gentleman in front of them. It's just more, he has injury concerns, right? Like, he's had multiple, like, 3 or 4 season-ending injuries prior to going to Washington. So, yeah, he has 2 seasons at Washington. He hasn't had any injury concerns, so maybe they are behind him. I always think, and I noticed, like, towards the end of the season, especially against Oregon, I believe, in the second game, he was kind of hiding out, towel over his head, had to wait for that last drive. And then when they scored, you know, when they stopped him to win, they hustled out right to the locker rooms really, really quick. I always wondered if he had an injury going into the playoff, and they kept it hush-hush, knowing that he had that history. But, yeah, that's the reason why I have him at the bottom. I do believe he has the best arm in the class, right? The numbers are gaudy. He was able to just spread the ball and pepper it all around. Dylan Johnson, all 3 receivers, Polk, McMillan, Odunze, like, he has the arm, and he has the capability of being an NFL QB. I just, at the age, with all the injury concerns, I really can't take him in the first round. It's very difficult for me to take him or put him above those guys or with those top 3 guys because of those concerns.
Jerry, you have any questions before I ask my follow-up to this one?
No, just to build on that, I think the NFL draft is going to play all of those worries out the same way. I think you're going to see him slip down, and there's no way that you're going to bump him up in a rookie draft after he falls a little bit in the NFL draft. But, I mean, I like him. He's also absolutely destroyed Michigan State when he was at Indiana, when he was at Washington. So I'm happy to see him go. But also, he did have a lot of really sexy toys that he got to play with, and did that boost him? So I think that's fair. I think 1 through 6. I think I was chalk with you. I don't think I had any disagreements in that. I mean, there's a chance that Drake May's probably going to be better than Jaden, but also we're talking about dynasty. If I can have a rushing floor, come on.
Yeah, but like, my follow-up is Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. Now, I'm a Drake May guy. I wrote up Drake May for the Player Profiler rookie draft kit coming out. He's got 4.55 wheels. He rushed for almost 800 yards as a sophomore. He's not Michael Penix Jr.
All right, Randall. But here's the thing. One thing that Jaden Daniels developed this year, when he rolled out to run, he looked to throw the ball first instead of run. Drake May sees pressure, smells it, right? Because he had a Swiss cheese line, smells it. They're still looking to throw the ball. It's one read. I'm tucking and rolling, bro. I'm out, okay? The thing with Drake May that I have concerns, never left North Carolina. Been home all his life, right? He's been propped up on a pedestal because his family's all been enormous athletes in North Carolina, right? Now, you come in to play with the big boys in the next stage, right? But when we seen him play this year against the big boys, he pissed his pants. Okay. The best game of his season was against Campbell. Really? Campbell played Virginia, a terrible team going through a true freshman filling in for a mobile, weak-armed QB. And he only scored 2 touchdowns the first quarter and went to sleep the rest of the game. They lost to Virginia. Lost. His second half was putrid. Okay. Now we'll go against App State. App State, double overtime against App State, no touchdowns, 208 yards. Yes, he scored on the ground. You can't get a passing touchdown against App State. One of us could probably throw a passing touchdown against App State. This is supposed to be the dude. I question that. I question his inconsistency in the pocket, the fact that he does not go through all four progressions ever, right? And okay, North Carolina, the competition in his own state, Duke, with no Riley Leonard, got outplayed by a true freshman in Grayson Loftus. 3 touchdown passes by Loftus. What a Drake May have. One and a pick. He does not play well against the big boys. He does not play well against the big moments. He has a lot of polishing to do, and he needs to sit. There's not any team that he's going to that is ready in this draft to play him right off the rip. None.
I feel attacked. I feel personally attacked. Because,
well, I mean, listen, hold on. Bro did shit his pants a lot. He did not help himself this year. As a junior, though, bro played pretty good. I mean, he had a game against Oregon where he went nuts. He had a game against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not.
No, but Notre Dame.
I went to Michigan State, so I fucking hate Notre Dame. But this ain't Lou Holtz Notre Dame. But I mean, he's shown that he can play at times. I'm skeptical as well. I just want to play devil's advocate a little bit. I mean, I'm gonna draft Jaden Daniels 80% of the time over Drake May, probably. Every once in a while I'll take Drake May, but I just want to give bro his due diligence, at least.
I'm cool with that, but the problem I have is people say, oh, he didn't have any NFL caliber talent. Well, he had one last year in Josh Downs, right? And he went to the NFL.
Yep.
Tez Walker's going at least in the third round to the NFL.
100%.
Okay. So he had this dude. Bryson Nesbitt is going to be a top 5 tight end in the next class. He had that guy. And let's not forget that he had a top 3 running back behind him in the nation and still shit his pants down the stretch. Like they couldn't just key on him. A linebacker had to stay home for that running back, and he still shit himself. He has no adjustment, none. And I blame a little bit on Mac Brown because he's not developing the QB in that department. But Mac Brown doesn't have adjustment either. He's also 90. Drake May's 20.
90.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Listen, Mac Brown is still living off the Vince Young years.
He will be on the. I will tell you this. I like this conversation because. Now I'm going to be a lot – I'm going to take landing spot for Drake May a lot more into account. And speaking of landing spots, is there like a – play matchmaker for a second. Remember those old school TV dating shows? You're playing matchmaker. Now, obviously, leave Caleb with the Bears out. He's not going anywhere else. He's going to Chicago, so you can ignore him. But are there landing spots that you, as a college football fan, but also knowing the NFL as well as you do – is there like some matchmaking you do that you think would give these guys the best chance for success?
So we mentioned Minnesota. I think either JJ or Drake in Minnesota would be good. It's crazy. And I never thought in the last 3 years that I would say, let Sam Darnold be your guy for one season. But there's playmakers, right? You're getting Addison. You're getting JJ. You probably won't get Hawkinson until midseason, maybe like week 6, you know, depending. But you have that, right? you have kind of like three guys in the run in backfield that all can catch the ball. None of them are going to be bell cows, but you have, you know, security blankets. So I think Donald will be okay. And maybe by week 8 or 9, depending on where you're at, you could turn it over to the kid. But I think JJ or Drake May is going to be a piece that's going to keep JJ home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Justin Jefferson wants to know who you're getting. I'm not coming here to be Sam Donald's number one for the next 2-3 years. We got a future. You got a guy who can throw the ball downfield. Let's see what happens. So I like that. I said to you guys before, I like Daboll. He's a QB developer. I think there's a shit mess. They gave Jones all kinds of money off one season. He's trash. He's been trash, right? And Drew Lock, come on, Mr. You have one good game every 2 years, bro. You flex out there, and then you go get a new contract or you get traded. So, like, I could see them playing them guys for 1 year, drafting either JJ or Drake May. Those would be good spots. But, you know, I like Daniels in Washington if that's where it goes. You get Terry, right? You probably get the rebirth of Dotson now because Samuels is gone, right? Gibson's gone. They brought in Eckler. So that's just plug and play if they use him correctly. Woody's got left for threat on the tires. B-Rob will be your banger. And you got a security blanket in Zach Ertz. So they went in free agency, made some moves to get them. They loaded up on defense, knowing that they're getting a young QB. So they don't have to rely on him being, you know, shootouts every game, because you're going to have these veteran producers on the defense keep the score low. So I like Washington for Daniels, but they've always screwed shit up just like Chicago does.
Oh, well, that's fair. Is there a spot that Jaden Daniels can go to that'll just piss you off? Or is his skill set just sort of, if he's going to be good, he's going to be good wherever he's at? Because that's just sort of what it feels like to me.
Yeah. See, so the only thing is if he doesn't learn how to slide, we're going to the NFL now.
Right.
You cannot get Bill Goldberg speared, right, by linebackers in the NFL and expect to be getting. I watched 3 or 4 times. This dude just did like a little, tried to hurdle over a guy. Like, homie, you're the franchise, but get down. Like, what is 2 more yards going to get you? You know what I'm saying? Just slide, live to see the next play. But yeah, no, I think his game translates to any team, really.
I watched that mentality kill a much bigger man in Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck was like 6'4", 240. And that get that extra 2 yards. Like, they brought in the Indianapolis Indians baseball, like a AAA baseball coach, to try to teach this guy how to slide. So I'm with you on Daniels. Now, you're a Patriots fan. You see the Patriot fan cave over his shoulder if you're watching on YouTube. If the Patriots go quarterback, because I've seen plenty of theories where they trade back, let Brissett run it this year and stock up on future picks. But if they stick and pick a quarterback, who do you want your favorite team to take?
I don't want May or JJ McCarthy, because we're not built. Who's the number one? Right? Who's he throwing to? You're setting this kid up to do Mac Jones 2.0 with a coaching staff that has less experience. I like Van Pelt, but he was the last man on the board that the Browns didn't want. Okay. I like that he's a QB developer to per se. If you want to put that label on him, he's played the game a long time. He's had some success, right? He's played on different, going through different OCs, so he's got different playbooks under his belt, so he's seen different things. But you got a defensive-minded head coach. Nerve-wracking for me. Most first-year QBs have success. Usually it's with an offensive-minded, you know, head coach. Like I said, there's not much experience there. Kendrick Bourne is your one right now. Like, no, I think he's a good 2 or 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Gibson. I think he will be more of a receiving guy for him, and he could be that security blanket. They're bringing back Hunter, which is great, right? Because another guy that can keep everything low. If Pop Douglas stays healthy, he'll eat with a rookie QB because he'll get all that short stuff. It's just I'd rather just trade back, okay? Let someone go get that guy. Trade back to maybe 10 or 11. Get a tackle to protect a guy up front, right? You can get a Penix, get a Bow, a guy. I think one of those guys with what they have could manage this. You want to talk about game manager? I think they could manage the Patriots with what they got. Now, if you get one of those guys and you lock them up, I know they're older. Now you can go and get certain older pieces that only got 2 or 3 years left, because now you got veterans that can teach whatever you want to draft for the young receivers that you get, right? And you can go and get whatever linemen kind of go by the wayside after camp and fill in the pieces. But There's too many major pieces that you have to go and get a guy at three when you're not ready. I think you're setting him up for failure again.
Always trade back. Always trade back. Always trade back, especially when you're not ready. All right, last question about quarterbacks. We'll move on to running backs, and then we'll save your what we're going to assume is your specialty because you did so well for us last year with wide receivers. But who is this class as Brock Purdy? And by that, I don't want you to like, hey, this guy's a seventh rounder, and he's going to come in and go to a Super Bowl. That's not what I'm saying. But who is a guy that's maybe being slept on a little bit, we're not hearing enough about, had a good college resume, that much like Brock Purdy, if he lands in a great situation like Purdy landed in San Francisco with all those weapons and Kyle Shanahan, who's a quarterback that could land in a really good spot that could end up being the late round value of this class?
I'm going to go Bo Nix. And I'm going to just rattle out a couple things. Just spots where he could land, I think would be great. Like Minnesota, great, right? Denver, great. New Orleans, which nobody's really talking about. I know they got Derek Carr, and he's got a couple of years left, but then none of that. I don't know what the guaranteed money is on that, and guaranteed money is nothing. We've seen Russell Wilson get cut and them eat $60-something million. So it doesn't really matter. But you put him in New Orleans, right, with Olave. Who did they just get? They just got a guy in free agency, didn't they?
I know they cut Mike Thomas.
I thought they got a guy, too, to put together with Olave. I'm not sure, but they can bring pieces in. But Olave being the one, right, and your backfield with Miller and Kamara, guys who can catch the ball. I think Bo Nix would be the great game manager in this class. Now, a little numbers I want to throw out there for you, right? Brock Purdy, yards per attempt at Iowa State was 7.8. But when he hit the NFL, it was 9.2 last year. Bo Nix, 9.5 yards per attempt. Average depth of target, Bo Nix was 6.8. Brock Purdy, when he was a senior at Iowa State, was 7.5. In the NFL, 8.6. Kind of eerily close to numbers and the style of play that they have, right? There's a couple more things. Big-time throws, 20 for Bo Nix. Brock Purdy only had 11 at Iowa State, but he had 32 in the NFL. So much for he's just really that game manager, right? So much is just the talent around him. He just throws the ball 5 yards, and they all make the play. Well, guess what? Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't fucking lie, all right? And that's what it is. He does have a good enough arm. He does make those big plays. He will make the stupid plays, turnover-worthy plays. Bo Nix, 5. Brock Purdy had 13 at Iowa State. He had 21 last year. He will make the plays, but he will make those big boy plays. And again, for a guy as a game manager, he's got to be a guy that can just move the chains and get it done. 211 first downs for Bo Nix this season. Last season, his senior year at Iowa State, Brock Purdy had 171. 240 this year in the NFL. My man was 2 in the NFL this year. In red zone completion percentage, Brock Purdy, 70.4. And he had the best true passer rating in the NFL with 113.4, according to Player Profiler.
Player Profiler is a tremendous website. What we're going to do is one of our most loyal supporters, he wanted to hear a little Crip Mac. So, I mean, this is for Mike.
The Crip Mac on hood.
on hood for Mike. Let's go to these RBs real quick, and I'll just ask you, as you know, CFB stands for college football, I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
Does this running back class impress you, or are you just very in the middle?
That's like, you know, I'm in the middle, like big pun, dead in the middle, a little diddly. Yeah, I don't know the words, but it sounded good. But yeah, I'm like big pun. This class is just kind of in the middle. There's a lot of guys. There's one guy that kind of sticks out the rest, and we'll talk about that in a second. And then there's kind of like 6 guys in a cluster, and then there's like another 6 guys in the next cluster. But nobody is like that alpha jumps off the screen to me.
I would agree. Jerry, what are your thoughts on this running back class?
How much confidence do I have starting them in week 17 when I want to win somebody else's money? It's small.
Not a lot, mijo.
That's how much. I mean, I'm not going to say that somebody can't right. have a good opportunity and explode. I mean, we saw James Robinson go from nothing to doing what he right. did for that little bit, but no, I'm good. I there is a very small chance I draft running backs this year.
There's no Bijan. There's no Saquon. There's none.
No.
You know
there's no Kareem Hunt. Like, I can't even like get a half chubby.
I'll give you a half chubby. I'll give you a half chubby. I think Bucky.
Don't cut Irvin, that, Randy.
Bucky Irvin could be a Kareem Hunt in this thing because of his. I think he's got the best hands in the whole running back class. Okay. And everybody wants to say, "Oh, it's junior year. He only ran out to the left side. Well, guess what? He heard you. And this year he ran in between the tackles and dominated. My man ran in between the tackles and then he went out to the outside. That's all I care about. When it came down to cutting the mustard, getting dirty and banging, my man went through big dogs and then cut it outside and went crazy. And he was Bo's security blanket. He was that guy that Bo knew wherever he was going to be. He knows how to sit down in coverage, knows how to beat up zone and man coverage. Bucky Irvin can be that overall back, can be your Austin Ekeler of this class.
All right. Well, who is, I'm assuming it's not Bucky Irvin, but who is your RB1 in this class?
The guy coming off the injury that's probably going to be the best back in this class, in Jonathan Brooks.
That's Jerry's guy as well.
Yeah. I mean, he sat behind the big dogs. He watched all the big dogs. He did it in the, you know, at Texas, right? He dominated when he was still in the top five, like three or four games after his injury. That speaks volumes. This kid can do anything you need him to do as a true bell cow back. And it's funny that he didn't get his shot because all those big guys in front of him, when he did get the time, and think about it, behind him, Javion Blue, 4-star, right? Cedric Baxter, 5-star. He just said, "Guys, hold, it's my time. Hold my beer. I'm going to show you how to get this done." And he did it. Until the injury happened, he was legitimate RB1 for the Longhorns.
I love it. I love it. I'm a Trey Benson guy. Now, who's your RB2, and what's the gap between Brooks and Nino's RB2?
It's not monumental gap between them. You know what I mean? Like I said, the classes, the tiers for me, I'm going to go like this. The next tier is like that. But two for me is Brain Allen. For the simple fact that he's only 20 years old. Okay, you're getting a dude fully healthy that's carried over 200 times, right, in the Big Ten and produced. It's not his fault that they decided, him and Luke Fickell and his coaching staff decided they were going to flip shit upside down and run Ches Mezzalini as the RB1, right, and tell Braylon Allen, "We're going to go out there and make you catch balls out the backfield." But you know what? That helps his stock because now we're sure, because he never was a pass catching back previously, now you see that he can do both. The only thing that hurts Braylon Allen is he runs upright, okay? He's more of an upright runner. He doesn't really get small and bounce out. He'll run your ass the hell over, okay? He's probably one of the more physical backs in the class, and he has that top-end speed. If he gets by you, God bless you trying to catch this man, okay? And you are not wrapping him up with an arm tackle. You better come correct, lay that shoulder, and wrap him up and bring him to the ground. I think the ceiling, he has the highest ceiling, but unfortunately, he probably has the lowest floor because he could be an absolute rock and be nothing for you. So the fact that he didn't do all the testing at the combine and at his pro day is a little concerning, draws up a little bit of red flags. But I think I think Dallas is a perfect landing spot for him.
I saw a theory on Twitter, so take that with a grain of salt, please. But they said the reason why he did not run at his pro day is because NFL teams told them they had seen enough.
Probably,
and that he's a day two running back.
And that's probably going to be one of the first ones off the board.
So that makes sense. So Jerry, you're a Braylon Allen guy as well. The mock draft we did, I think you got both him and Jonathan Brooks. So this is definitely a guy you like as well.
I do like him. I'm worried that his profile set has not been extremely successful in the league. You see the Andre Williamses of the world. You see the AJ Dillons of the world. Just those big fucking tank guys. I mean, bro does run big, but he is big, so he better run that way. He's tough to bring down. You know, like Nino said, like you know, you're not going to get DeAndre Swift. I mean, you're going to get better vision than DeAndre Swift because bro fucking runs into every safety in the world. But you know, I like him. As far as if I'm going to take stabs at a class, I'm going to take a bunch of Jonathan Brooks. That'll be the guy I take. I'll take a couple Braylon Allens. I'll take a couple Trey Bensons. But yeah, I just want to see where he goes. Right. I think every single one of these guys is 95% dependent on what we see in Detroit at the end of April.
Hey, 6'1", 242, depending on if he took a shit in the morning or not, right? Hey, with 40.4% breakaway. Like, did this guy, like, he had 900 yards, 450 of them were breakaway yards. And he's 20 years old. The kid's got all the thread on the tires, more than anybody in the class. Like, yes, like I said, he's an upright runner. I get it. AJ Dillon, he ain't got as big of quads as AJ. He's not that big of, you know, he's not this big block out there. He can run. He can get a little shifty, right? Like, but he's a guy, kind of got a Derrick Henry kind of build, will stick you in the face and throw you to the ground, which is kind of a dying breed in this day and age as running backs. But like I said, 20 years old, he has a great ceiling, but he also has the shittiest floor in the class.
The AJ Dillon Quadzilla reference was an absolute inside joke to anyone that's been on Twitter for a couple of years when he came out, because that was the story of about a month.
Yeah.
Oh, no, for sure. I like Braylon Allen, but then that leaves four guys, and you can rank these remaining four. You got Trey Benson, you got Marshawn Lloyd, you got Blake Corum, and a guy who going into the combine was a super hot name, getting a lot of buzz, Jalen Wright. So of that remaining four, how do you rank that four? And then you can work in your guy, Bucky Irvin, in there as well, because that's your guy.
I would go Corum 3, Benson 4, Irvin 5, Wright 6, and you can put Marshawn Lloyd somewhere in like the double digits, bro. Like, that guy has the worst vision. He got worse vision than Stevie Wonder. If you go back and watch tape, he'll run right when you could drive a truck to the left, like a school bus through the hole. Like, you know, people want to talk about Donovan Edwards running at the lineman. Go watch Marshawn Lloyd. Because people want to watch what they want to watch to make their take and their content hit. But this dude has terrible vision. And that is another reason why I'm not really a big fan of Trey Benson. His vision isn't the greatest either. You know what I mean? Like, yes, 2,000 yards over the last 2 years, right? No fumbles, got great hands. But I question the explosiveness a little bit, kind of like Trayvon Henderson. Like, yes, I've seen a little bit of it, but I haven't seen all of it. Give me it all. I want it all. You know what I mean? Don't give me a little taste. I want the whole meal. Give me an appetizer. Show me that you're back. There's no more questions, okay? And his vision. Sometimes, man, this guy, like, takes the hardest path to victory. You know, the lane's there. Just take it. Don't run into the linebacker and the safety, get off, bounce off, have to do, you know, a stiff arm and break 2-3 tackles to get the same 10 yards you could have gotten by going straight. Fix the vision. I think a good landing spot by him. Like, if it's in the NFC East, he's golden, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Or even, you know, Green Bay, good spot for him. I question a little bit of the explosiveness due to the injury and the health concerns.
Talk to me about Corum a little bit.
Corum, he's going to be a touchdown whore. Whore. You look at, like, this guy came back from major knee injury. And I was questioning him. I'm like, I don't know if this guy's got it. Does he have that? I can make him miss in a phone booth. Does he still have that? He's still got that, man. His explosive coming out of the hole. He's never was afraid to run between the tackles. I'm not a Michigan guy. So, like, I liked Edwards better. Edwards literally put a diaper on this year and regressed instead of going forward. Corum just ate his lunch and, like, looked at him every single game. Like, okay, buddy, this is my team. It was games he went for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, people don't understand. The knee was spaghetti noodles, dude. Spaghetti noodles. They put it all back together and this dude just dominated. I'm with it. Like, I think he's going to be the best rookie in this class from red zone. Yeah, from in the red zones from 20 to 20. Maybe not. But he's going to give you those fantasy numbers, those long runs. You know, those you get those extra points for those 20 plus runs. He's going to be that guy.
He is totally talking my language. I like Corum quite a bit because I feel like he's already a Charger. Now the NFL NFL draft may have something to say about that. Tell me a little. So I'm going to wrap the running back segment up with this. Tell me a little bit about your guy, Bucky Irvin, because I didn't put him on the show sheet. That's an oversight on mine. He's clearly a guy that you're probably going to have a lot of come May and June when you start doing your rookie drafts. Where do you think he'll go? Now, you can go ahead and do Superflex tight end premium guesstimate. Where do you think we'll be picking Bucky Irvin? Because the more you talk about him, the more he's on my radar now, more than he was before I wrote this show sheet.
Well, look, you're going back to 30 plus receptions in back-to-back seasons, right? You know, 300 yards receiving in back-to-back years. The touchdowns he doesn't get, but you're getting receptions to go along with 1,000 yards in back-to-back years. He had over 150 attempts. Like I said, both years, he's put together on the ground 16 rushing touchdowns. Last year, he had 11. 5'9", 5'10", depending on how, what kind of cleats he's got on. Probably about 191, 192. I think that's what he came in at the combine. He's shifty. He's got great vision. He's not afraid to sit there and protect the QB. So he can play in all three downs because he can pass pro. This is a guy, like, if you watch college football and you like the running back that's all-purpose, I think you could go with back end of the second round, early third round. Like, I'm talking, like, anywhere between 209 to, like, 302. And you're getting value there.
But Dino,
Bucky like
ran
steal.
A 4.55 at the combine.
Listen, you go ask a couple of NFL guys, and they'll tell you they got smoked by 4.6 speed many a times. Dude. It doesn't matter how fast you are. It matters how quick you are and how sudden you are. And he can get you right there off the line.
Well, that reminds me of something that our friend of the show need to get him booked on the show this offseason, Ray Garvin. He was like, he cannot wait. I think he said he had a conversation with Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, yep. and that he can't wait until they get GPS tracking via the shoulder pads and just like pretty much do away with the 40 all together. Because, I mean, and I say the same thing, you know, I always talk about baseball, and baseball, they make them run 60 yards. I'm like, okay, well why 60 yards? They're like, well, that's the distance from base home to second. I'm like, well, wow. Then why are they running it in a straight line? Because home to second's not a straight line. It's like the 40 and the 60 and this like running, like it's great. It gives you, I guess it's a data point, but I've never really been enamored with it. I think it gets people more in trouble than anything else.
Give me the 10-yard split in a three cone drill. You know that matters to me more than the 40. You know what I mean?
How many 40-yard runs do you see in an NFL season? But you see a lot of 10-yard runs. I'll take a guy who can give me 3 10-yard-plus runs a game as opposed to a guy who might get me one 40-yard run every four games. It's easy.
I'll take the vert over the 40 because the vert tells me how explosive you can be from a standstill position.
I am so glad you said that. One of my favorite data points on Player Profiler when they do the combine metrics and they convert it into a burst score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a combination of the vertical and the three cone and all the things that you mentioned. I would much rather have, especially like wide receivers too.
Yeah.
I would much rather have a guy who's bursty, who can like burst open long enough to get between, get through a small hole in the line, create a foot of separation for his quarterback. Use those things. We are talking the same language, but we're going to save the last third of this show strictly for the wide receiver position. We're working on getting Matt to do one of those fancy ads for that way I can just play it. But I want to bring up the FFPC promo code Underworld. If you're doing startups right now, especially if you're new to Dynasty, recommend the FFPC. They've been doing this for years. They've never had a league fold. So if you really want to sink your hooks in, and you don't want to risk putting a bunch of money into a league and then having it collapse and never getting your money back out, going to recommend the FFPC, promo code Underworld. And all right, let's get to these wide receivers. Now, last year, you and a friend of the show, original host of the show, John Sheps, you guys were all over Rashee Rice coming back from the Senior Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Who is giving you Rashee Rice vibes going into the NFL draft right now?
Ooh. See, like with Rice, he was super physical, right? He was super. He was coming out of SMU, and he had like the big play maneuver, and he was kind of physical, like Corley, not as physical, right? But he had more of a route tree. He had better hands. I don't want to talk about these guys that everybody else is talking about. Shout out Ray Garvin, too. I want to say, because he was on a Spencer Rattler train with me. Coming out of the Senior Bowl, he was all about him, right? So he knows ball. Shout out Ray, because he knows ball. I don't want to go with Roman or Ricky Purcell, right? Because those guys, you know, they're technicians. They're cutting them up. I'm going to talk about three guys that I think couldn't be in this Rashee Rice category. One of them, a lot of these viewers probably don't even know who the hell he is. I'll start out with him, Ryan Flournoy, okay, out of Southeast Missouri State. This kid, I don't think I've seen anybody work harder than this kid, all right? Ripped, like he was cut from like a Greek god. This kid, after every single practice at Senior Bowl, when people rush in the field for interviews, my man, yo, Spencer, out there catching extra passes until they made this dude go do interviews. Every single practice, this kid kept going and going. He was one of the hardest working kids out there. I don't think he dropped the ball the whole time he was out there. I think he had two or three of the better beats on DBs at the Senior Bowl. This kid was like the possession king for SEMO. I love everything he did. I think he can go up there and contest the catches. He can get it done 6'2", 205, right? He's got the body type. He plays outside, but he can also play in the slot if necessary. Move him in motion, he's good. He checks all your boxes, and he's a kid that really nobody even knows about.
I wrote that down. Like, literally, I know we're all going, you know, technical. You can take your iPhone notes. It's great. I'm with you. If you're watching on YouTube, this is a notepad. This is an ink pen. He literally said that name, and I wrote that name down. I promise you, this is why we have guests like Nino on. A couple of years ago, Shane Hallam gave us James Robinson, and we were all at the Dynasty Warzone. We were all taking James Robinson in the fifth round of our rookie drafts, and that paid off. So this year, this is the guy. So far, we are going to, and I see Rubio in the chat. He wants to know again who. It's Ryan Flournoy, Flournoy. Ryan Flournoy. Got that one written. Huh?
100 targets. I'm talking about, it's not just like a chump wide receiver. He had 100 targets, right? He had 825 yards receiving. But my man had 440 yards after the catch. So he's not just like, you know.
Yak monster.
Yeah, he is a yak monster. Exactly. 7 touchdowns, and he averaged 14 yards per catch. So this dude gets it done.
Give us your other two. You said you had two other guys that you really came away from the Senior Bowl big into.
Brennan Rice out of USC. And the other guy is Anias Smith out of Texas A&M. I like Anias Smith. A lot of people forgot about him. I had a chance to do an interview with him out there. This guy had a major knee injury. Literally told us that he had to learn how to run again. He was a dominant wide receiver for the Aggies before the guy by the name of Evan Stewart showed up. And then everybody forgot about Anias Smith. Ryan Anias Smith can play all over the field. He's a special teamer. He's a stud special teamer. That will get him on the field sooner than some of these other guys, because he's got that grit to him and he has that versatility to him. Brennan Rice, everybody wants to talk about Brennan Rice because, oh, he's Jerry's son, right? But he's not just one of these guys that has the name. This dude's out there physical, right? He's another guy, Greek god, cut from, you know, granite. Like, this dude was out there. Quentin Mitchell was one of those dominant DBs. He was physical out there banging with him. He was out there throwing guys around in the red zone. There was one play I was a little pissed off about him because he made my guy Bo Nix get a pick because he kind of didn't adjust. He wanted to throw a ball. My guy should have threw it, you know, a second earlier. But other than that, man, he was out there dominating DBs. He was physical, dominant top of catches, right? And in drills, he was beating guys off the line. And he's not known for that, like, shiftiness at the line of scrimmage. He had 5 touchdowns in the last 6 games to close out the season. And he had a dominant performance against UCLA. This kid's got it. He's got the pedigree. You can remember, he pretty much told Mario Williams, take your shit and pack it and get the hell out of here. Like, Mario Williams came over from Oklahoma, was supposed to be the guy. Brennan Rice beat him out the season before, and Mario Williams was a non-factor this year for USC because Brennan Rice emerged. Dorian Singer, what happened to him? Nada. Brennan Rice took over that slot too. Two dudes that were 4-star, big talent guys came into the college football, and Brennan Rice said, nah, I got this, and produced.
Jerry, you have anything on these wide receivers?
Shit, I'm taking notes, buddy.
I'm taking notes.
This Flournoy guy, I mean, he had 10 catches, 96 yards against Kansas State coming from SEMO. I mean,
I will have him everywhere. And I'm glad we're talking about the Senior Bowl, because I can remember there was a time when people told you for Dynasty not to draft rookie wide receivers if they were seniors. That there was this stigma of, oh, if you don't come out as a junior, you don't have elite upside. And I just think that's wrong. How many because the game
Debo,
has changed.
Debo was at Senior Bowl too.
Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin, Puka Nacua. I mean, there's just every class, it seems like the last 6 to 7 years has produced at least one, if not three, studs for the NFL. Do you think it's just time to retire that narrative if we ever see it again, Nino?
No, that's just put that in a box, bury it. That thing's dead. It's been
Rashee Rice last year. We'll just throw him out there, Puka.
Yeah, this is plenty of guys. Like, and you could go back probably 10 years and find gems. You're like, oh, I forgot about that guy that played. Like, there's so many guys in the league that they're like, oh, he was seniors. He played, he went 4 years. Can we say anything about how long they played with giving these guys the COVID year and all this? Like, does it really matter how long they've been there? Like, in longevity, look at QBs. They've been playing until they're 37 years old. So who cares if
who's the tight end that's played? Like, he's going into like his eighth season.
Chase McCormick from Miami. That guy's playing in his ninth year. It's
28 years old.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, how do you, is he a doctor?
He better have seven master's degrees, dude, at this point.
Like a lawyer, something?
Look at Stetson Bennett. 6 years in college, never graduated.
It's wild. It's not to say that there's anything wrong with it. It's a gig. Well, this class does have a big three. At least I consider it a big three, but three really big name wide receivers. And I see that smile, and I love Nino's passion for college football, because he really has a huge understanding for these guys. But the big three, and this is, you'll hear this a lot on Dynasty Pods, is like Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. How do you rank those three guys?
Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Brian Thomas Jr.
Spice. Oh, Jerry is going to – Jerry, you want to tell Nino your comp for Brian Thomas Jr.?
DJ Chark. Big guy, LSU, 4.3 speed. He just scares the absolute dog shit out of me. And here's the other problem. I think he might be a Detroit Lion at 29.
But
if he's a Lion, then I got to deal with Amon-Ra. I got to deal with Sam Laporta. I got to deal with Jahmyr Gibbs. That pisses me off. So why do you like him? Why do you love this man?
Okay. Biggest guy out there, outside of Johnny Wilson, dominates in the contested catches, over 65%, right? Yes. Oh, here's the number two DB on because of Malik. He outperformed Malik Nabers. Like, he had 18 touchdowns to 11. He's the touchdown horn. He's the guy you want. He's the big play guy. He's the best big play guy in this class. He's physical. He's, you know, what's about Keon Coleman's got the athletic ability. Brian Thomas? Middle school, high school, 1,000-point basketball scorer. You can smoke that, dude. I don't want to hear about this. Keon Coleman's the best, you know, athletic guy in the class. No, Brian Thomas Jr. is the best big man, the best deep threat, the best contested catch guy in this class. For that reason, I question Romo Dunze's grit, right? For the same reason you question Michael Penix, maybe he had the shiny toys. Oh, maybe Romo Dunze was good because he had Penix, because what was he before he got to Minnesota?
I absolutely love this conversation.
But we can't just ignore the fact that you said Malik Nabers is one too.
We can't gloss over that. Listen, the more that I listen, it's like I try to not dip too much into other dynasty content because you don't want to become a parrot and echo or steal someone else's take. But I was listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, who's an ex NFL GM, and he was like, all these draft boards are going to be different. And there's going to be half the rooms are going to have Malik Nabers number one. So I don't think it's too far off. I think it just comes down to, are you a chocolate cake or are you a vanilla cake guy? But you like Nabers. Why is Nabers your one?
Because he's Carvel ice cream cake, bro. He's the best cake that there is, right? You look at everything Marvin Harrison Jr. does, Malik Nabers does, except you can't out-throw Malik Nabers. He can catch the ball anyway. His catch radius is stupid. His body control is stupid. His adjustments to underthrown or overthrown ball is the best in the class. He makes Marvin Harrison look like he's a preschooler. And Marvin Harrison is a dude. But I think a lot of Marvin Harrison's game gets boasted up because of his last name being Harrison. I do believe that he at this point in his career is more developed than his father was right now. I'm not saying as a career, but coming out of college, he's more developed. But he's a diva, bro. He's a legitimate diva, and I question shit like that when it comes to top dogs. He didn't play in games this year because he just didn't want to. Look, it didn't do the combine because it did it last year. Like that's his reason. I don't want to do nothing. I got measured for nobody because I already did that. Like, look at JSN. He was kind of a diva, right? I don't got to do this. I don't got to play these games. I don't need to do this. Marvin Harrison also kind of got locked down. They want to say he was generational. I'm so sick of hearing that goddamn word. The generational is trash. I don't think Brock Bowers is generational. I'm just tired of hearing it. They put it on everything. That's just like the new flavored word of the week. They went to the thesaurus and came out with this word and said, we're going to ride this one till the wheels fall off.
I'd like to introduce you to our new third permanent host, Nino Brown, because I feel the same way about generational as well. It's like generation means like once every like 12 to 15 years. And like, wasn't Kyle Pitts generational?
Wasn't Patrick Mahomes generational?
No, he is now, but he wasn't. Then Andrew Luck was generational. Okay. Trevor Lawrence was generational.
Yep.
Now, Caleb, it's like we just put so much expectation.
Selling point. It's a selling point.
It gets you to click. It gets you to watch. I like Marvin Harrison Jr., but, you know, I do agree with you with the diva thing. And I don't know that it will matter a bunch, but I can just – Like the wrong head coach, like an old stodgy head coach. Like, I know your boy Belichick's gone. I love Belichick, but
he's
passed. It wouldn't have been great. So, all right. So, obviously, what are your thoughts on Odunze? Well, go ahead.
Who made that quarterback better? One guy forces his high school friend out the door.
I feel like with your take on Brian Thomas and then Malik being your number one, I feel like you're kind of making my point on Jaden Daniels in that Jaden Daniels has been in the college football days. I think he played against Andrew Luck, but you know, all of a sudden we have this breakout Heisman winning 2023 season, and how much of that credit do we have to attribute to Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers? Sometimes it's chicken and the egg.
Well, yeah, you know, like, but where there's smoke, there's fire too, because he was able to facilitate the ball to these top elite talent, right? Like, and he was the run game. So like 5,000 total yards for this kid. Like, so I wasn't a Daniels fan. I'm a Nussmeier fan, but they paid my guy Nussmeier the Brinks truck to sit on the bench saying, either this guy shows up in 3 weeks and develops, or it's your team. And Daniels developed, but like, look, you fed two dudes and you made sure both of these guys got theirs every game. That ain't easy to do. We've seen NFL QBs fold under that pressure, right? Like, look at Baker with OBJ and whoever else was there in Cleveland. And we've seen big talent and everybody just QB just, nah, my dude took it. I think the major concern with him is like comeback routes, kind of like anticipation throws. He's a little off with that, a little bit Daniels, and sliding. He can fix that's coachable fixing though. You get a guy that's a, you know, a QB friendly OC, you can fix that.
I did want to ask you about Brian Thomas. Okay. And I Rome Odunze, and then we're gonna have to wrap this one up. But we're gonna have Nino come back. I'm gonna book him for another couple, 2-3 weeks down the road, because we still have another whole bunch of wide receivers to talk about. We got tight ends to talk about. We're going to get Nino to do a follow-up to this. But when you were describing Brian Thomas, the way that you said he wins contested catches, he's a touchdown whore, he's a big play guy. When you say that about Brian Thomas, you know what name I hear? I hear Mike Evans. I hear Mike Evans, the way that – a faster Mike Evans. Mike Evans was not a 4-3 wheels guy. Is that a fair comparison? I mean, I know everybody hates comps and loves comps at the same time.
I think that is a very fair comparison. I mean, Mike Evans might have had a little bit of weight on him. I think Thomas isn't as thick as Evans was. And you know, Evans came from that dirty in Texas, so he had that extra grit to him. But
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. He had a style of QB, the mobile QB, the guy who could throw off platform, the guy who could get the ball downfield and zip it, and Manziel and Daniels. So there are some similarities. I think Daniels is a better overall quarterback than Johnny Manziel, with a way, way better head on his shoulders. But you got to remember, Daniels is also a guy who came over from Arizona State. So he's read multiple playbooks, which also kind of helps him. You know, different OCs, having that background and that development does help you. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, it kind of hurts you, don't get used to it. But, you know, now you're going to the NFL and you have variety in that mind of plays to call. I think that helps. I think that comp for Brian Thomas, it could be, we might want to clip that and save that. Come that, you know.
I had the same thing when you were talking about Braylon Allen. That's how my mind works. I did a show last year where I compared like the running backs to like classic running backs. And when you were describing Braylon Allen, big guy running upright. Now he doesn't, at least as of yet, have the pass reception chops, but I was hearing Steven Jackson used to play for the Dirty Birds, played for the Rams. Cause I'm hearing a big guy runs upright. And that was Steven Jackson. So that's just where my mind.
Steven Jackson had a little more shake to him, I think, okay, than Braylon Allen. I would think Todd Gurley a little bit more. You want to stay in the same Rams organization, Todd Gurley, right? But Gurley had the receiving chops, but the way he ran, he had that, you know, that cut, would get out to the outside, didn't have a problem running you over, love running between the tackles. But yeah, I like the Steven Jackson comp as well. Like I said, but Steven Jackson had a little shimmy to him for a big man.
I look, Steven Jackson was one of the OG cheat codes in PPR. All right. Last question of this show. I mean, we've not even gotten into the whole second tier of wide receivers, tight ends. We might do classic comps with Nino here in a couple of weeks. We'll do something like that. Last question. You don't have Rome Odunze in your top three wide receivers. Is there just a major concern? You mentioned that maybe Penix was part of the was hoisting him up, because Penix throws a pretty good deep ball too. What were your thoughts on Odunze?
Who's the better wide receiver last year? McMillan. McMillan was the better wide receiver in that department last year, hands down. Why was Odunze better this year? Because my guy was hurt. Who emerged because my guy was hurt? Jalen Polk. My guy, I think, Jalen McMillan, is the better overall wide receiver from the Washington Huskies. I've been saying that for 2 years, and I'll stand on that. I question Rome Odunze's toughness. I question sometimes Rome Odunze's awareness on the field. Like, look at the national championship game. Yeah, Penix overthrew a little bit. I mean, quit. Didn't even run the right route. You make the right route, you go the right direction, touchdown. It's a different outcome in that game. There was multiple times where I watched.
I mean, he had a good game too, though. I mean, he's going against the first round talent in Will Johnson. He still went for almost 100.
No, and I'm not saying that he's trash, okay? But I'm just saying I can't have guys that kind of you got to be on all the time if you're going to be one of the top three guys in the class, right? I don't see Marvin Harrison misjudging this route, right? I don't see Neighbors misjudging the route like that. Like, you just went the wrong direction. You know what I mean? They were getting the top DBs against them too. He had a lot of guys to get him open space. Polk and McMillan were dudes. And Dylan Johnson, let's not forget about Dylan Johnson on the backfield. Like, he was a major reason why the Huskies were really good this year. So what does that do? That keeps that safety that could be roaming around in that secondary. That keeps him home, keeps him down in the box, which means there's one less guy to be covering in Dublin, Rome Odunze.
Nino, man, you are awesome. I am going to, when we finish this one up, I'm going to book you again for a little bit later into April. Have you come back? Because I've been doing this a long time. Jerry's been doing this for a long time. And I absolutely love guests that create writer downers. Like, I'm literally writing down Ryan Flournoy. Like there's a name. Anaya Smith. I'm writing down this name. These are guys I'm going to go check out. And this is why we have you on, because we can draft off of your college football excellence and, you know, your projection for these guys at the next level. Man, I want to thank you, but please tell these folks where to find you and what's going on with at the CFB Nation.
We got a bunch of college football team shows coming down the pipeline. We got Welcome to the Big House, the Michigan show, the O, which is an Oregon-based show. We also have I love it. We also have Sooner Shakedown and the Hawkeyes, the Hawks Nest, the Iowa-based and the Oklahoma show. So we got a lot of team-based shows coming down. On Mondays, you can catch Overreaction Offseason. Me and my co-host, KT, we break down whatever's popping in college football, good or bad, and we don't hold back. So you catch me there. And you can catch me over at the League Winners. I read a couple articles on the Devy content, and I do a Future Phenom show over there.
Well, I will tell you this. Nino does a lot better job than Jerry or I at retweeting and reposting his content. If you follow his Twitter handle, he does a tremendous job of retweeting links and articles and podcasts and YouTube stuff.
So well, you're old. I mean, what do you want?
I'm old and you're lazy.
That's true. What a combination.
No wonder we're behind. But Nino, man, you are one of the good ones. I'm so glad that your Spencer Rattler reminded me to book you back on the show. I'm going to get you on again here in the not too distant future. Jerry, you have anything to add before we get out of here?
Listen, the reason we even invite guests on is so that I can steal what you say and I can get better. I am absolutely the most selfish human being that has ever existed when it comes to this space. Mostly you were just entertaining. Holy shit, I could listen to you talk for hours. And that's exactly why I want to have you back.
I was thinking, I'm gonna hire this guy to come work with me and just read my emails to him.
I mean, listen though, like we've done this show a long time. We just had 800 episodes or whatever the hell it was. We've talked to a lot of people who I wish I could have hit the little red X button in the corner and left Randy sitting there by himself. But it was awesome. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, guys. Follow him @_NinoBrown_. He is a good one. You will not regret that Twitter follow. Follow him, all of his content, and you will enjoy it. Nino, thanks so much. Jerry, good to have you back. And we'll be back next week with more Dynasty Rookie content.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you. Allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.